do I believe that it will harm me more than anything?
Yeah.
Not me, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
The global...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a song break and mm-hmm. come back, and then we'll sort of switch gears and we'll talk about NDAs and how this... Mm. Fits into the picture and what it all means. What yeah. the heck is an NDA even anyways? So yeah. What are we going to
I think I quite like the title of this song. It's by a UK band, Camera Obscura.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah, I found them on the playlist and I thought, wow, from the UK, a bit of home. But the title of the song specifically being We're Going to Make It in a Man's World, I think is also very, very fitting.
We're gonna make it in a man's world.
Camera Obscura with I'm Gonna Make It in a Man's World here on Intravenous, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Holkmeenam and Squamish speaking peoples. And we broadcast at 90.1 FM, 450 watts of community power. I'm Robin.
And I'm Rebecca.
And if you're just joining us, welcome. We have been talking about harassment and discrimination loosely on campuses in a mostly Canadian context with a bunch of statistics. And we're going to shift our focus here and talk a little bit about NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. And they are signed legal documents that restrict sharing certain information with others. And it usually means that the person signing cannot share information about a specific event, a series of events, misconduct such as sexual harassment or discrimination, the conduct of an employer, and or the terms of the NDA itself. There are usually no time limits, and so they're generally intended to silence the parties forever. Forever. They're sometimes known or referred to as confidentiality agreements, and they are usually part of a longer agreement or contract because they are part of contract law. And they often appear as terms in a larger settlement agreement, release, employment contract, severance package, or when someone is leaving a job, arbitration or mediation agreement. And so, you know, our specific focus is on the phrase, you know, that they're commonly used to silence people about specific events or a series of events in relation to misconduct as it pertains to sexual harassment or discrimination.
Yeah, because I remember when I was reading that NDAs traditionally were used just to protect sort of confidential information in regard to like finances and company information, and that it's more now that they're commonly used in sexual harassment cases, which is where it's become very topical in more recent years, as to like ethically and legally where I guess the boundaries lie with it, particularly with, you've had the high profile cases of like Harvey Weinstein and hashtag Me Too that kind of, I guess, started the ball rolling on the discussion point of NDAs. And then I'd say recently, like you've had like rappers in the news this past year and top business people that have had NDAs involved, or victims coming forward saying they were offered an NDA but they didn't sign it, which then has brought the discussion up more. There was this particular, I was reading a transcript of a podcast it was sort of a group of different lawyers talking about NDAs and their experiences with clients and NDAs. And there is one particular quote that I think is very kind of fitting, in that they say, it was a male lawyer saying, "They're buying your silence." That is like what the NDA does, and that is it. He's just like, "They're buying your silence, that's it." And he says that they will continue to have a hold on you to ensure you remain silent.
Forever.
Yeah, and there will be like, your employers will continue to have a grasp even when you've departed from the company, because of the NDA. It's like you constantly have a tether to what happened by signing an NDA. This lawyer was very against NDAs, in case you couldn't tell from the tone of those quotes. And he says, like, he says they're buying your silence and that price remains forever. And I just thought, if you think about it that way, of maybe a victim trying to weigh up whether or not to sign an NDA, in that you're kind of tethering yourself to that incident as well, like forever, constantly being like watching what you say or how you're acting or anything in regard to it. He says, you're wedded to them, you're joined at the head. And I thought,
wow. That is so potent to me. And I hadn't really thought about this tethering aspect of being tethered to that person or to that organization or to that event forevermore. I mean, we are, you know, kind of tethered to our experiences regardless. Yeah. But, you know, there's a level of work, I think, that we do personally to heal and, you know, like just move on in our lives when traumatic things happen often, that we try to untether ourselves from. And so when there are these systemic and cultural phenomenon that glue us at the head forever, you know, and I think there's a lot of pressure, right, for people to sign these things, because there's a maybe a thought out there that the less the public knows about whatever this case is, the more unbiased the justice system can be about the trial or you know, whatever, if it actually gets to that point. But whatever is happening in terms of, you know, the way that it's being dealt with, if there's only the two parties that are speaking about it and they can't speak about it to anybody else, then there's some kind of reality that is more believable, or it's more stable somehow. But when we're silenced, that is so unstabilizing.
Yeah. I think as well with NDAs being used, it's, say, going back to what you were saying about harassment and that quote being, it's a systemic issue. With the NDAs, you're sort of, you're isolating, if say it's a repeat issue in a company, you're isolating each victim so they can't even kind of unite to speak out about it because they're all being silenced and they will have no idea. They'll think, am I the only one or has this happened before? So it's a very isolating way of kind of settling with the victims. And I read somewhere that it says the NDAs enable a culture where harassment is tolerated. And I think that going back as well to the, it's a well-known secret, because you are enabling a culture that is tolerating harassment because the companies are just settling by throwing, this is what we spoke about last week, throwing money at the problem.
Right.
And then just being like, that's okay. Money's being thrown at the problem. They're not going to speak. It's fine.
Well, and not only that, but there are these, there's different kinds of NDAs. Mm. And one of them is a preemptive NDA, where often companies or employment contracts will get their employees to sign before anything bad happens or any misconduct happens, right? And then they're not allowed to talk about things. And in the U.S., more than one third of workers have signed this kind of NDA.
Mm.
And so when you talk about this idea of cultural silencing, right? Mm. And then it's a well-known secret. Well, yeah, people aren't stupid. Like, you can see who's sleazy around you and who's creepy and who's, you know, creeping the new girl out or whatever. but not being able to say anything about it or about your experience about it to anybody keeps that well-known secret visible but unspoken.
Yeah. Seen but not heard.
Right?
Yeah.
And it becomes this weird, like, am I? It's like this gaslighting kind of a thing, right? Where you all of a sudden start to wonder if you're a crazy person.
Yeah. Definitely. I think, as like I was reading as well, the amount of people that have come forward, they've stayed anonymous, but saying, I had no idea I signed an NDA before I, like just signing their work contract, getting in, just being like, yeah, I had no idea there was an NDA like hidden in there.
Read the fine print.
Yeah. Honestly. And looking at the US, where they had a Speak Out Act that Congress passed in 2022. And it says that no non-disclosure clause or non-disparagement clause agreed to before the dispute arises shall be judicially enforceable in instances in which conduct is alleged to have violated federal, tribal, or state law. So that was sort of like banning the use of NDAs in the US. But what was interesting is that that does not apply to an NDA that was agreed to after the harassment occurred. So it says that they called it blanket NDAs are problematic with that legislation. So it says employers may have an interest in keeping certain conduct secret, and they may require that their employees sign an NDA when they settle a sexual harassment claim. So it doesn't apply to that, is what it's saying. I was like, so what does that legislation even really do?
Nothing.
Yeah. Like, in my opinion, like, reading it, I was kind of thinking, so you passed the legislation, but I'm not sure that legislation actually covers the reason of why you should have passed it.
Right. So we're back to this idea that it's systemic.
Yeah. So it's like you've done a full circle and you still have the problem. And it's going back to, like, what tangibly is being done. I mean, we spoke about this last week as well, in that it looks like they've done something, but they haven't really.
Yeah.
When you actually read about it, but people will see the headline of like new federal US law banning NDAs type thing, and be like, oh great, we're taking a step forward. And then you read it and you're like, oh no, we're not. So yeah.
The impacts on signing an NDA agreement are gigantic.
Oh, yeah.
And we've touched a little bit on, you know, what being silenced can do. But, you know, studies, more and more studies are showing that people hiding personal traumatic secrets display more signs of poor health in general. And that can include everything from hypertension to getting sick with influenza and the flu and colds way more often because your immune system is just struggling to keep up with your stress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Developing cancer and other kinds of autoimmune diseases where, you know, your body's just not functioning in a right manner. And the reverse is also true, where having the ability to confide in people about the thing that you went through and actually have, you know, somewhere where there's open communication and the ability to share and, you know, have a listening sounding board and, you know, listening ears, can have such a positive health effect and really improve and boost your immune function.
Mm.
And so it's so crazy to me in some ways that, you know, we're always talking about, you know, oh, how do we increase health and well-being? How do we, you know, improve overall care of our citizenry and, you know, make sure that people have what they need. And, you know, how can we reduce health care costs? And, you know, not be having to treat people with all of these things that come from not being able to deal with their traumatic experiences in a healthful way, vis-a-vis having signed a non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah. I think as well it would be, I mean, I don't know any statistics or research being done into this, but looking at it in terms of when we were all isolating for COVID, because that is another way, say you had an incident at work, you may not have signed an NDA as of yet, but then you go straight into the pandemic, straight into isolating, straight into stay in your house, do not leave for X amount of months. And you're like, right, now what? Because you look at how much of a rise happened in terms of anxiety and depression after the pandemic when everyone comes back out and it's sort of like, well, I've just lived with my own mind for like 6 months. Now I don't know how to talk to other people.
Right?
Type of thing. Where it's like, I don't know what to do if you're not on a screen on Zoom. And you saw how detrimental that had been, particularly I know with young people, in terms of the rise in anxiety and depression, like a starkly rise. So that's kind of like a similar environment that you get when you're putting an NDA.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's like you're just put with yourself and your thoughts. You can't talk to anyone about it or anything. And as well as like implications in that aspect, I read something interesting that NDAs contain a non-compete clause. And I wasn't sure what that was, but it says that when survivors choose to leave their employment once they've signed the NDA, their career options were sometimes limited because NDAs containing a non-compete clause, which preclude individuals from working in the same industry for a specific period of time after leaving their current position.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So you're...
So you can't use your expertise
exactly
after you leave the same way.
Yeah. Not only are you potentially stunted in terms of referencing and trying to get another job, but you're specifically being excluded and isolated away from the profession that you've chosen to go into because of the NDA. And I thought, wow, so not only do you get excluded one way, but you're also legally getting excluded from working in what you're trained to do and what potentially you love to do and what could be bringing you joy. And it's just, to me, it's another aspect of what NDAs take away from a person.
Again, back to the systemic
business.
And perhaps why, you know, when we talked about harassment on campus, that, you know, if you're a professor or even a postgrad student on campus and you have signed a disclosure, and then you can't go to another university and be a professor.
Yeah.
You can't apply for that. You can't apply to go and be that job, even though you're the, you know, best professor of whatever it is. You're going to sort of stay put because your livelihood is at stake. It's it's really it's harmful in so many ways, so many ways. And what's really kind of terrifying is that they're so normalized. You know, they've become just standard affair, standard practice.
Yeah.
The widespread use of them, not only as the standalone non-disclosure agreement that we've been talking about, but also where they're, you know, built into contracts and things that, you know, we're not even really aware of. is hugely problematic.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, if we don't recognize the ways in which they're in such broad use, then I think we're blind to the ways that our silence is being bought day in and day out.
Yeah.
Right? About the things that support a system that fails so many people.
Yeah.
All of the time.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely. And I think we're only starting to see maybe potentially legislative change to kind of combat that. I don't know how effective. I mean, I think it's too early to say how effective the legislative change will be, because I know the UK introduced a legislation literally last year in terms of implementing a blanket ban on the use of NDAs by higher education providers. So they specifically were going into education. So it's banned in settling complaints of misconduct by staff, students and visiting speakers in higher education settings. But you're not in listening maybe to employment sectors there. I don't know if there's any legislation in looking at workplace. But I thought another thing that was very interesting to me in terms of like looking at policy, because obviously that's the UK, but Ireland actually introduced an employment equality amendment bill in 2021 towards non-disclosure agreements, where the key feature of it is that it prohibits using NDAs in cases of sexual harassment and discrimination unless the person who made the allegation specifically requests an NDA. So unless the victim is requesting an NDA, you cannot use an NDA in a sexual harassment and discrimination case in Ireland. And I think for what I've researched, that seems to be the most concrete form of legislative change that I've seen towards sexual harassment and discrimination. And I would say it's kind of, you're seeing it maybe being implemented slightly with a high profile case that's ongoing at the moment in the UK called the Mohammed Al-Fayed case, which I think we've spoken about before,
mm-hmm.
where the company that, so Mohammed Al-Fayed has passed away last year, and he used to be the owner of a really luxurious company and department store in London called Harrods. And when he was the owner of there, there was a lot of sexual harassment and assault that went on, which has been coming out. The allegations have been coming out this past year. And because he sold the company a couple years ago, like I want to say like 2010s, he sold the company is settling with the victims now, but has specifically come out and said they are not attaching NDAs at all when they're settling, even though he sold the company 10 plus years ago. They've said, we want the victims to have the right to speak about their experiences regardless. So we're settling with them like in financial settlements, but there will be no NDAs attached to it because they have a right to their stories, even though he's no longer an owner there.
Oh,
he's like, that's a breath of fresh air.
Look at that. We get to finish the show on a little bit of a high note there.
Yeah, I was like, is that some progress we are seeing?
Well, you know, it just goes to show that we're all part of the progress, you know, and I think that being aware of the things that are hidden in plain view.
Bring visibility to the well-known secrets.
That that harassment is on campus and as a microcosm in our larger world, and these NDAs, which can also be buried in work contracts and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to just be aware and you know, keep our eyes out, and you know, keep our ability to speak up, because if we lose that, holy smokes, we're definitely going down the rabbit hole of poor health and well-being. Not only individually, but as a culture and a society. So thanks for that discussion. It was very informative and rich. And next week we've got something special, and then it'll be the holiday season, and then it'll be 2025, and we'll all be just shaking our head about how fast this year has gone.
Oh, definitely. Oh, yeah.
So coming right up is Democracy Now. Stay tuned, and thanks again for listening. See you next week.